Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
DeRozan played another game winner recently.
No, they played Monday, and then they have the week off till Friday, which is nice. They needed it. You know, they played too many games in a row. But yeah, it's cool. Did you see the All-Star voting?
No, who gives a shit about that? Let's talk about the Blackhawks game, O'Neal.
No, man, that was rough. That was rough, especially at the end. Like,
I thought it was tremendous.
Kirby Duncan.
Why? What's happening here? Why isn't Joseph saying anything? What's going on?
So I'm talking for Joseph today.
Oh, what happened? What's wrong with Joseph?
He can't talk.
Well, why can't he talk? Like, I don't understand why not.
He got COVID, so can't talk.
Yep. No. I didn't even know he was like gonna be on the show today. Like I had actually booked. Okay. I didn't realize he could be on the show.
You didn't know?
Oh my god. Well, I called SP3, so I my ass did call somebody. Whatever. All right. I guess. Are you still doing the corner three, O'Neal? You still doing that?
Wait. The Bob O'Neal corner three?
Yeah.
Fuck Bob O'Neal.
And I said, psychosis!
This one's for all pals. And O'Neal starts to feed from the jaws of victory. The point gun and the chubby cheese distraction. Hey, podcast, pure filth. Wins and losses, don't be shit. So what's Joseph Grinch as I do his bit? Distraction. Hey, roll up. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, welcome everyone to the distraction. I'm Jeremy Lambert. Joseph is here. Joseph is talking, I think. Are you talking?
Maybe I should just say fuck Bob O'Neal over and over again, you know?
That's just the only thing you say all show. That's fine.
I mean, it'd be an upgrade than the usual, so I'm with it. But yeah, I'm excited. I wasn't supposed to be on this show, but there's a lot to talk about, man. I can't miss this wrestling podcast thing. It's my addiction now, you know? That's I am broken, good. Folks. I know it's bad. Here we are.
SP3 is here as well. How you doing, SP3? What a shill with a Young Bucks shirt.
I did this to troll my colleague over on True Hill Heat, who hates Matt Jackson, but I couldn't change, so I had to be here. Glad to be back on the flagship distraction show. So you know, being here, and Joe, you know, had to go get over the Jordan flu to come play with SB3.
You know, you bring this up. This is a quick detour. This is the distraction. I always forget how much people hate the Young Bucks. So, cheap plug, I'm currently doing the Fleet 50, okay? The top 50 in-ring performers in AEW. You can send your ballots now. You can email them to me. And, folks, let me tell you, there are people that have not got Matt or Nick Jackson on their top 50 in-ring performers of AEW's 2021. It's crazy, man. It's a real thing. So, I'm proud of SP3. Showing love to one of the great tag teams right there.
Absolutely. Can you call some people out and say who they have ranked over them? Because I was like, I would like to know these things.
Then reasonably they could ask me for mine, and I am not letting that go. That would be over my dead body, brother. That ain't happening. So anyway, let's move on. That's mine.
Send it to me. I'll do it. Cause you know what we do? You know what we do on this show, Joseph?
And you know what I'm gonna do with this social media? I'm gonna bury people. I'm gonna bury everybody.
Bury all these fucking people, Joseph.
Incredible. An incredible wrestler. Should we start there?
Let's start there after I read some super chats. Okay. Guys, get your super chats in. Get your question, comment, statement right on air. Get your bobber chat in. We still need to register bobberchat.com, but you can go to humperchats.com, and that's registered. You can leave your comment, your statement over there. Our buddy Frank says, that's just Joe's Mick Foley walking back to Hell in a Cell holding his dislocated arm moment. All hail. JJ says, one of my favorite big stars. Welcome, SV3. Always great to see you, man. Did anyone call the police for the Pillman match? Phil, love you both. did you call the police for that match?
I'm doing this now, and I swear we have a lot of fun, but if you watch this show, you'll know I never do this. And he seems like he can be kind of dumb, but he doesn't seem like an evil person. So I ain't trying to be horrible or anything. But like, when you got that roster, sending that dude out there with like TV is just, he's terrible. And all, seriously, nothing personal. I never do this. It's got to end. Okay. I mean, the man, he fell down twice. The second time, I mean, it's just that match went 6 minutes. It died a death live too. The thing is, I think for you guys, it went to commercial really early.
Yeah,
from what I remember, right? Didn't have that privilege over here, folks. I didn't get to see the Burger King commercials going by to distract me. And Dukes in the chat was at the show, and he probably can vouch for this, maybe not. It was dead silent as they worked this thing, and I mean, I don't know. I just think, when you got the roster that good, there's no room for that kind of showing on TV to me. But you know, we'll get into that stuff later.
Remember when they put him on Arthur Ashe?
Yeah, it's two big shows, man.
Against Jericho. Against MJF. Oh, man.
Yeah. And there wasn't even really an angle here. You know, it wasn't like he was just sacrificed to set up. I mean, we know what's coming, but again, that's another problem to get into. It's like, I don't know, man. It was like, it kind of was trying to make Pillman like seem courageous. I don't fucking know what it was. It was bad. It was real bad.
That's where we all thought it was going, right? Is like, all right, he beats Pillman, and maybe Griff comes in, and that sets up who we think is coming and everything. Malachi just kicked this man, and he just like fucking left. He was just gone. Bam says Joseph 7 MJ flu game today. The best facts, straight facts. Frank says SV3's biracial baby rant was an all-timer. SV3 is the fucking best. That's why when Joseph said couldn't do this show today, I messaged you. I was like, can you do it? Like, gotta have you on.
Immediate upgrade, obviously. Can we talk about you doing that whole bit and then like 2 days later on Dynamite, Brandi Rhodes cutting one of the most like absurd promos in the history of television?
It was like they saw me talking. Yes, they did. And they was like, you know what? We're gonna go full throttle. That's why, you know, on the I'm now calling Tony Khan. Whenever Brandi Rhodes is on camera, he is now Antoine Khan. Because if he is either directing or scripting this promo in any type of way, he needs to be Antoine Khan.
Fair, I agree.
Rob says I owe him a super chat from yesterday. That is true. I apologize, Rob. I know you sent one about Kale McCarr yesterday. And Andrew doesn't know anything about hockey, so I wasn't trying to force that on him. But Kale McCarr, the fucking goat. He says, all I want to say is SV3, can you confirm or deny that meeting me in Minneapolis was better than Paige versus Omega?
Confirmed. I have never had a meal with a friend that was that televised as that meal in Minneapolis,
right? Oh boy. Jay Blood says Joe's point taken, but another problem with AEW is they never followed on Pillman's moment in his hometown was barely on TV since Grand Slam. We're gonna kind of get into
I don't think Pillman, I'm not losing too much sleep about him in particular, but the point is very, very worth discussing, and we will get into it here on the world famous Distraction podcast.
Let's start with Danielson and Hangman. They had their big rematch after they went to a draw at Winter is Coming. This one did not go to a draw. It went about 30 minutes. Bloody affair. Hangman Page wins with the buckshot lariat. Look, it's very dumb to say this was my favorite match of the year. We're six days into the year. There's some good stuff at Wrestle.
There is some good stuff.
Yeah. But like, fuck, this match was better than their first one, I thought. And I really liked their first one. Having a conclusion is good, but they worked it. Like, after going 60 minutes, they worked it with like the intensity that you would hope they would work it with after like a 60-minute draw. Like, there was no feeling out like there was in that first one. They went after it from the start. Both men, bloody messes in this thing. Big moment for Hangman getting the victory clean over Danielson as well. I absolutely love this match. SP3, your thoughts?
This is now the match of the year. This made Okada and Ospreay the shortest reign ever being match of the year. Like, it literally was match of the year for 12 hours, and then it got taken from them with the opener on AEW Dynamite. Just like the way they came into the match from the opening bell just made sense due to the time limit draw in the last match. Hangman came out with just more intensity, a sense of urgency, but Bryan Danielson kept the same energy. He was like, I can win this in 60 minutes. I can win this in 6 minutes. He's still confident, still trying to stall, getting Hangman's head, going after the lariat arm once again. He splits him in the head at the same spot that he did at Winter is Coming. You had the callbacks, you had drama, just great heel work from Bryan Danielson. One of the best parts was during the pitcher in pitcher for me. I had to watch it because Bryan Danielson was shoving Hangman's bloody face into the judges' faces like a kid trying to get dad's attention. Like, pay attention to me. I'm winning, dad. But and then Hangman just had that moment, that one moment where someone just becomes a star. Like, you saw it with Austin bleeding in the sharpshooter at WrestleMania 13. That was when he arrived to that next stage. I feel Hangman Page's moment is him bleeding, dripping blood, and then doing jumping jacks. My God, I was like, he's arrived. He's arrived. This man has arrived. He's a main event player. And then the finale, everything, like, this was so much better than that, their first match. It's one of the best singles matches in AEW history.
Joseph?
Yeah, that about nailed it. I mean, we always ask for this, right? When you get the big, long, epic first match, we'll always have these conversations about what the sequel should be. And I mean, they did it, like, to perfection. It's like when you get a great prize fight and they'll run it back and it's like, well, look, they know each other now, right? But they didn't do it as a gimmick. They didn't come out the gate with a big finish and then, you know, slow down. Instead, they started in a way that was logical. A lot of Bryan's tactics, you know, extended to this match. But when Hangman brought him into just sort of trading bombs in there, Bryan had no choice but to go with it. And then, you know, it's a shootout, basically. It was incredible. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to go, like, you know, tell you what my instincts was when I saw Bryan's blood, but like, good Lord, man, how desperate has that dude been to bleed? I mean, the side of his face was like, I mean, I've seen some blood in professional wrestling in my time. That was quite the deal he did there, huh? Like, I mean, good, it was incredible. It was a fabulous match. It honestly, if there's a better match this year, I think it would have been, you know, something pretty special. I really believe that. These at times felt like I was watching like a grainy VHS of, like, you know, the considered greatest match ever from 30, 40 years ago for the NWA title. The only thing, and this is directly aimed at Jukes in the chat, who I'm blaming you directly for this, I wish the place was a little louder for the first bell and the opening heat. They had to earn it more than I would have liked. I wanted them to be rabid from the start. But yeah. I get it, you know, losers and stuff. no, seriously, this was...
That was New Jersey. Not New York, yeah.
Right. Yeah, am I right on that? Like, it felt like they just kind of, it almost was like they wasn't ready for it because it was the first one up. But
yeah,
you know, the violence, the headbutts, the physicality, the psychology, the desperation, the blood. It was just beautiful is not the right word for this particular match because it was graphic, you know, and there's some people would watch it and be like, enough headbutts. But to me, it was damn beautiful. It was a masterpiece. And Bryan Danielson, and I say this again, every time I do this, I have to say the asterisk. I'm not slighting Hangman and Page, who's fabulous, wonderful wrestler. But this run of Bryan Danielson's is going to be something that we all kind of, you know, one day when we're all retired and, you know, we've done our gig for the WWF Network on Peacock, presenting the best of AEW every week. We will say we were lucky to be there for that, watching in real time, because it is, you know, it's the great, I think it's the greatest wrestler ever in his fullest form, you know, so it's very, very special. I love the match. What an incredible match.
I mean, you mentioned that if we see a better match this year, that's going to be tough. I'm just thinking, like, Danielson's going to take like a week or two off, and he's probably going to go out there and just try to top it very quickly. When AEW's in on the beaches of Cleveland, he'll have this great match with Johnny Gargano. Gargano will come in, and Danielson and Gargano will just top it immediately. Jay Blood says, Hangman jumping jacks, the man's instincts are Gid level. I assume that means Josh Giddy level, which factual, the GOAT, Josh Giddy. But yeah, dude, when he was doing those jumping jacks as a callback to Danielson do it last match, I lost it. Hangman, we said it last time of like, we know Hangman is good. The Omega match like proved Hangman was good if you had like any doubts. The Danielson match kicked it up to another level. This was, again, that just kicked up to another level of like, yeah, if you have any doubts about Hangman carrying this from an in-ring perspective, right, yeah, just shut up at this point, because right, this man's gone toe-to-toe. There's no carry job with two of the best of all time, and in my opinion, the all-time
GOAT. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And, yeah, you know, I think anyone saying otherwise is being way unfair to him. I think, you know, we all do kind of a bit with Brian Cage, but like, lest we forget, he had an awesome match with Brian Cage at Double or Nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that was a carry job, because Cage is good at those matches, so God bless him. But, you know, my point is, point me really in the last 2 years since he kind of got rolling with his character, point me to where he has let you down in a big spot, you know? The guy's a special wrestler. The only reason we all focus on Brian Danielson is, I mean, SP3 is probably the best example. It's like, you were there back in yesteryear in New York City when he was the best wrestler in the world as Ring of Honor champ. Like, it's hard for us not to just sit here and just talk about how great he is. He's special, man. He is what he is.
Yeah, it's like unreal for me. Like, yeah, my first independent show, I saw him lose the Ring of Honor World Championship. I was there when he returned to Ring of Honor after losing the world title, and they treated him like a god, yeah, and got to see the end of that run, his final match in Ring of Honor, got to see him go to WrestleMania. And then this, like, he's had three separate all-time careers in three separate companies. Like, this is unreal. Like, I totally agree with Jeremy. He's the greatest. He's my favorite wrestler of all time, but he is making the argument very, very well known that he is in the conversation for the greatest professional wrestlers of all time. When the only other guy that I could say probably competes with him as far as in-ring classics is making a fool of himself on the Twitter machine by attacking, yeah, Becky Lynch, it's Bryan Danielson, man. Yeah. Bryan Danielson is the GOAT, and we are being able to watch it. We should just appreciate it much, much more.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And this year is going to be really interesting, because he's going to be away from the belt for a bit, right? Yeah. And, you know, are we going to see heel Brian in big programs, bleeding everywhere in blood feuds, or are we going to see babyface Brian working those exhibition matches, like the Suzuki match as an example? You know, if you use that as like those kind of Clash of the Titans matches, I'm easy either way. I think obviously there's a lot of stories for him to tell regardless, but I guess with Danielson, you just kind of let him pick, right? What do you want to do, man? who do you want me to get through the door here for you? I mean, it's honestly, you know, we're all sports fans, right? It's like, it's different because wrestling is really dumb and weird, but it's like the idea of signing someone of this caliber and them still exceeding expectations in like grand fashion is bonkers. Like, we all agree he's the greatest ever before they signed here, but I don't think any of us expected him to be this outrageous in AEW. He's had like 15 great matches. The man's out of control. I mean, everyone agrees that he is in like the top three best wrestlers, five best wrestlers of AEW's 2021. Folks, he made his in-ring debut on like the 20-something of September. This, yep, dude's different, man. I'm telling you, this guy is, he ain't just the greatest ever. He's in his own league. He's building his own suite up there. Anyway, we should probably move on before it comes an hour of this. My bad.
Jay Shell says, I don't want cool judges if they use them. Yeah, the judges were Lynn, Henry, and Big Show. I think we all kind of got worked up of who they're going to pick, and they're just like, who's producing in the back? Let's get them.
Bro, we're on separate chairs at least, man. Like, you can't sit the judges all together on each other's laps like that. Like, they're in...
You had Jerry like this. Like.
Yeah, poor Jerry had to sit between them two, man. Come on.
Like, maybe it was a COVID thing and they didn't want to, like, mess around with the building. But, like, it looks so silly them all sitting in the same corner like this awkwardly. Come on, man. Get them a nice table or something, you know?
Jay Blood says, we were wondering a couple months ago where this matchup would have enough juice. Now it's a legit rivalry that will mm-hmm. be remembered and returned to. Yeah, they'll definitely go back to it at some point. Yeah. And Jay Shell says Cage is good at matches. He's got his style.
He's Come that on. Particular type of match. Like, the big moves fest, he's good at. He's not someone you want to watch for 20 minutes, but like a 10 to 15 minute, you know, do every move you could possibly think of. He's good at them. I mean, I don't have to talk about it anymore because it seems like it's not going to be talked about much on these shows, but, you know.
I'm looking forward to his Warrior Wrestling match with Will Ospreay. I think that's the right guy to be in there for a Cage title match.
Yeah, he keeps ducking Buddy Matthews, though, because he's a coward.
Amy says, for my money, Hangman, one of the best in the world, both in-ring, perfect with his character development, best babyface in the world currently.
Yes. Yeah. That's all spot on.
Yeah. And Mad King says, AEW is making Hangman the American Tanahashi. US has not had work rate babyface work that high level in a long time. I mean, that's because the company that does babyfaces hasn't done a good babyface since Bryan Danielson in 2013.
By accident.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Now, I'm intrigued. Let's follow up on that a little bit here. So if that was your mindset, we want to have him as like a real working ace. Who are you matchmaking with him next? Because we all agree Hangman's great, but you have to, like, give him certain guys that he can have those classics with, right?
Yeah.
Who jumps off the page? SP3, any names come to mind for who could get the next shot?
I'm thinking Revolution is going to be Adam Cole.
I am too, yeah.
He's number two in the ranking. This whole storyline with him being in the middle of Red Dragon and Young Bucks has done nothing more but make him look more like a star. And that was kind of going off a little bit for a few weeks after Full Gear, but now it's back. He's a star again, and it can leave the Red Dragon and Young Bucks to go against each other at Revolution. Yeah. So you have two matches that play into it. And plus Hangman fits very well into that storyline there. So
true. That's an interesting one in ring, right? Like, I think we all agree the match would be very good. I would be intrigued what kind of match, because I don't see them having, like, this kind of match. Does that make sense? Like, it would be like slotting Hangman into a takeover main event. And what I mean by that is it would get good reviews, but I don't know if it would feel the same. It would be intriguing to watch how his reign develops. Andrade came up in the chat. That match sounds awesome, but obviously there's some work to do with Andrade. Like, stylistically, I see that. That's a perfect call. And Moxley's looming, obviously, also. So, I don't know, Jeremy, any other names come to mind?
Yeah, I've long since thought that Adam Cole was the Revolution match. As far as other names, they can heat up anybody in a quick heartbeat. I think there is a story with Starks. I don't think they're going to tell the story that early, but that was the neck injury.
Yeah,
it was the Hangman match. So there's a story there. Again, I don't think they're going to that just now. I think you got to do more work with Ricky and just getting him on television and featuring him more. Mad King mentions Miro. That's an easy one.
Yeah,
I could be there. I know he's dealing with the hamstring injury, but if he can get back and ready to go, that's an easy one. I think I've long said that Cole is the match, so I'll stick with that. They got some names that they could possibly put in there, but I think Cole's probably the kind of the biggest one right now.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Now, Jeremy, would you like to do the super chats first before I make this hard left turn?
Ibby, got a couple here. Ibby says, Malachi Black trying to corrupt the baby face of all baby faces, money and the striking exchanges. Good God. They got to do. I'm not in on this Malachi Black stuff. I'm sorry.
I agree with the comment.
Yeah.
But it's the execution of it should be better, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I like the idea. I think it needs to be done in a more kind of engaging way right now. Because right now, I just feel like I'm waiting for the angle, to the actual thing to happen, which is Brody King, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And maybe that's a me thing, but in my defense, they literally had him like tease Brody in like four different ways in one vignette and was like, you're more than a king, violence, you know. So for me personally, I find they have this problem. I'm sorry, that was a wonderful super chat. I'm sorry to take this off the rails, but I'm doing it now, okay? They have this thing they do with angles where you're like, you spend weeks like waiting for the obvious. So like Kyle O'Reilly was kind of one, it was less so. Brody is now. To me, the Kingston Jericho thing is, because like we all know they're going to fight. Like, just get, yeah. I can't see them save each other. You know, so you do this thing, you wait, and then when it happens, I find sometimes they do a bad job of following up. So what happens is it kind of then all fades into the back, right? So like my concern for Malakai is, and this isn't his fault, but it's something I've been thinking about a lot. I don't know if the story he wants to tell is best suited to the way they book their wrestling. Because a lot of their stories are told in the ring, and they do a lot of pre-tapes, and it'll be, you know, next week. Here's a pre-tape set up next week's match.
And I think he's coming after you for criticizing AEW? Okay.
And I think he wants... I don't know what he wants. That's right. I shouldn't say that. I think he needs a more overarching story that feels like it's kind of living over the whole promotion rather than like just the lights have gone out, you know, like it doesn't feel connected in the way I want. Does that make sense?
I don't think either of these things are his fault, but he does this stuff. And then last week when you could see him just turn around and walk through the tunnel after the lights go out, last night where he's just sitting in the rafters and stuff, like, I don't think any of this does him any favors with what he wants to do. And I'm with you on the way he wants to do stuff just isn't conducive. Like, you don't need to be wrestling Brian Pillman Jr. to do this kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, you just don't. You don't have to do that. A lot of stuff doesn't feel connected, and this has been an issue I've had with AEW is – you know, next week we're getting Hobbs and Dante Martin, which is great. There's been no real follow-up to the Leo stuff on that. I guess they showed something on YouTube. Great. Not everybody watches that stuff. You invested TV time on this angle. Give me that on TV, not on YouTube. There's so much stuff that they just go away from for a week, and then it's like, oh, well, we're going to book a match now. And now they're having an issue where we're seeing Serena and Sheeta again, which is great. It's going to be a great match. But don't tell me you don't do rematches, and I feel like I've seen this match a million times. I feel like I've seen Kingston and Santana Ortiz against 2.0 and Garcia a million times at this point. And it's the same stuff of just, all right, let's make a save, and I guess Eddie and Jericho are fighting so much save stuff. They're going back to Ruby and Britt again after we've seen that. It's just they used to be very good at, like, cycling people.
It used to be better.
Yeah.
Like, they used to be good at, like, cycling stuff, and now, like, because of the talent that have come in, like, now the cycle isn't as good. Like, they're keeping some people, like, off television for too long, so they can kind of keep the newer people on television so much, and it seems like a lot of times. And then it's just, all right, well, we're just doing a match for the sake of a match for some of this stuff. SP3, your thoughts?
No, it's very true. Like, there's a lot of different feuds over the last couple of months that just they try to stretch it out too long. Like, everyone always brings up Orange Cassidy and Matt Hardy. God. And with what both of those guys were doing afterwards, it made no sense why Matt Hardy won the last match between them. And that feud was just ridiculous. Even though they had a great, you know, final match, the whole Tay and Jay versus Penelope and Bunny went on for months. Ricky Starks and Brian Cage went on for months. Like, it just seems this year, if you're not, like, in, like, a main title picture or an important feud, if you're just in one of those mid-card feuds, they've tried to stretch it a little too long, and we get too many rematches. And I feel I get that feeling too with Sheeta and Serena, where after the second match, everybody wanted the third match, and then the third match they just didn't give them enough time. That was on the same show as the hour-long match between Hangman and Brian, and plus the finish was a little bit wonky, and then they went away from it for like a couple of weeks, and then when they come back, it's not as hot because we feel like the feud has already been over because right. we saw three matches and now we're going on a fourth. That's overkill. And I kind of understand where you guys are coming from there. That is an issue right now in AEW.
So I think it's important to say that some of this stuff has been a problem, right? And it's yeah. but the show is good enough that you kind of go, well, whatever. So a good example would be the kind of moving too quick. You know, the famous example is poor Christopher Daniels getting beat, you know, standing there hugging his partner covered in blood, and they said, to the back! You know, and like someone in the chat said, I was ultra, I've missed it, but they said it was insane. They didn't even show a clip of the incredible street fight from last week's Rampage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some would say, well, why would you say it? And it's like, well, because you don't want star. But and have no... Sorry, I went... My bad. You don't want stuff to have no weight to it. You want it to be remembered, you know? And when people do the stuff those women did in that match, you want it to be... You could do a video package, you know? Like, it wouldn't kill you. I will say, though, I did like... They did a couple of dark recaps last night. Big yes. thumbs up on that. Because that's something they need to do for a long time. Now, here's the stuff, and you guys both said it perfectly, but just to add to it, here's the stuff that I think is a more recent problem. Firstly, the ring match and the extending the feud is definitely a real thing. Like, when Britt walked into the scene last night with Ruby, it was just like, oh, I mean, just book the tag match you want to book. You don't have to give everything an angle, you know? Like, if you want to do the tag match, you don't have to do this stupid, you know, over the top, overcomplicated way of getting there. It's so lazy that we all know what's coming. You're going to do a match on Rampage. Just book the match at that point, you know? Like, it's silly. But, and this is a big thing that is maybe me, but this is where I'm at. First match was fabulous. We loved it. As soon as the first match is done, there is no possible way that show can be considered bad when it has a match of that caliber. So before I go any further, I want to say, objectively, AEW Dynamite last night was a good wrestling show. It was a good wrestling show about half an hour just based on the fact they had one of the great matches of the year on it. Fine. I like the Punk and MJF thing. It isn't really my flavor, but I think it's effective and I appreciate it. I personally believe that everything after that was a good example of stuff that we've all kind of pointed on, and like, there is some issues here and there are some cracks creatively that I think the increased talent pool are covering over. Bryan Danielson will ensure that your show is only so bad, okay? CM Punk cutting promos will keep things pretty damn afloat. Hangman, all these great wrestlers. However, there are moments where I watch them do angles and I'm just like, what are you doing? Why are the Lucha Bros coming out and then you're having the lights go out and Malakai is just going to like transport past them? And then you're going to do lights later and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And then at the end, it's a title change and we're going to have the heels come out. It's like, you got to focus in. If your target is to put the belts on the Jurassic Express, just do that tonight. Just do that, okay? Because it's a big moment. Now, unfortunately, and this is no one's fault, and this is worth saying, I know you guys co-sign this. Big love to Rey Fénix.
Yeah.
That obviously killed the poor moment for Jungle Boy because we were all just, I mean, that was horrifying. So I can't, that's no one's fault, right? That's just a shame.
It was, and people were saying that maybe they sent the tag teams out there because they had to kill time on this. I don't know if that's true. Like, why is Chris Jericho up in the rafters and Malakai up in the rafters for that? Yeah. If you need to kill time, just focus on the celebration of Jungle Boy and stuff. Show more replays from the match if you need to. Like, show him hugging his family and everything. Go out there, tell him to do that. You don't need to bring the tag teams out there and they're all like, all the heel tag teams like, oh, okay, we have new champions and everything. The weird cut to the rafters is, I didn't understand any of that. Yeah, if you need to kill time because of the Fénix injury, do something a little bit different than what they did. Focus on what matters, and that is the Jurassic Express winning the titles.
Yes, and someone mentioned the chat and they are right, so I will point it out. The reason the Lucha Bros came out is because they're friends with Pac, who got his eye gouged out a month ago, or whatever. That is true. That is also nowhere near at the front of this program enough for that to be a thing that we immediately said. I thought about it and realized it, but you just saw SP3's reaction. You've got to have some connective tissue. Show me a video package that. There's a middle ground between Raw doing 101 recaps and doing none at all. Now, the reason I know Corey's right, and you are correct, my friend, is because they showed one before this match because they wanted you to remember that Pat got his eyeball gouged out. Some in the middle would have helped. That's all. Sorry, SP3, you go on this. I'm all over the place.
No, my guy Jimmy on AE Ramble, he says it every week. He loved that whole angle with Pat getting his eyes gouged out, and then it got dropped for weeks. For weeks on end, it was like Malakai Black just moved on to spit in the mist into Julia Hart's face, the whole issue with the Varsity Blondes, whatever he's doing with the House of Black. It's like he had 100 other things to distract him that made us forget that what he did with Pac. So you can't just do the one video package right before you're about to remind us of the angle again. You have to do something like commentary. It doesn't take much for the commentary to be like, oh yeah, man, Malakai Black made a difference. Like, we haven't seen Pac since what he did to him. Like, if they just would have mentioned it in his matches over the last couple of weeks.
Oh yeah, I don't know about the matches the last couple. I think they did mention it like when the Lucha Bros came out and stuff.
Yeah, they did.
My thing is, okay, why do they care now? And then why do they care to come out at this point when Malakai was like already leaving? And I guess he did go back in the ring, but why do they come out at this point? And then they come out just to go to the back for their match. Like, at least stay in the ring. It's like, oh, okay, they came out because they have a match. It makes sense that they would try to come out now. But then to come out and then go to the back, it's like, huh? What?
It's very jarring.
Here's a perfect example, okay. I watch this show with my brother, who is what we call in the industry a casual fan, folks. What I mean by that is he doesn't do a podcast like the rest of us idiots. So I wanted to test him on this, right? And I go, so why did the Lucha Bros, you know, why did they come out there? And he goes, I guess they're going to do a match on Rampage. I was like, yeah, but what's the story reason? He's like, I don't know, man. I guess they just want to do a match on Friday or something. I was like, fair. Owned. I've been owned there. And, you know, because that's the truth of it is, and this is not a new thing, and it isn't a big thing. If you're watching this and you're saying, well, I still enjoy it as much as ever, all hell. You know, this is not me saying you're wrong or anything. Mm-hmm. But there is this thing where the way Tony Khan does angles is he just sees them as like the necessary evil to get to his match. He's like, well, I want to do this match with Shida and Serena. What if Serena does an interview? And then Shida comes in and punches her in the face. We could probably do that in about 30 seconds. And then I can book the match I want to book. And that's fine. But at some point, when you do it so often, and everyone is getting the shit kicked out of them backstage, and there's all these, you know, it's a little bit dizzying sometimes. And when it's executed badly, as I think in some cases it was last night, unfortunately.
That Jericho segment sucked.
Well, that's a different problem. Because now we need to focus on something else. There are two guys that have been a topic for the last year. It's Codeman and it's Chris Jericho, right? And they have always, you know, they've marched the beat of their own drum. God bless Chris Jericho. What's happened?
You say in March with those two on the stage. Just
kind of... I didn't even mean that. Right?
I know you didn't.
Cody Rose, the leader of the Million Man March, of course.
Now, look, here's what I'm saying. Chris Jericho has done a lot of great things, and the greatest of all of them was he was always ahead of the curve. So here's what I'm going to say, and Chris, if you're watching, I hope you're listening. If this is all him being self-aware and setting up his heel turn when he works Eddie Kingston, no problem. I'm fine with it, okay? However, if he intends to pull off some kind of babyface program with Eddie the way Punk did, and he's going to do this shit in his promos... I may not watch this program. if at some point in the next month he stands up and says, Eddie Kingston's like, hey, this guy's fat, huh? Big head. I'll be like, done. I'm out.
Make fun of his New York accent. Like,
bro, that segment was bad, man. And it's like, the thing about Jericho, he was always great at adjusting, but now he just feels like he's doing like tribute act shit. SP3, where are you at on Jericho at this point? I don't know.
I'm convinced that the worst thing in AEW is the Jericho-verse. It's not the Cody-verse. It's not the Cody-verse anymore. The Cody-verse is fully acknowledging the type of reaction that Cody is getting, while Jericho is the real oblivious one. He thinks because people sing Judas, he's still as over and still the one of the more popular baby faces out there. But his whole stick is really getting stale. It's already stale, but to even the people that were fans of Jericho, it's getting stale, and he doesn't have the best people to play off of. Anytime you extend a 2.0 feud past a month, you're stretching right. stuff thin here. Like, I understand you're trying to get this one big tag team match, maybe Kingston and Jericho versus 2.0 or versus them and Daniel Garcia before you get to Jericho and Kingston. All you are doing is making people less interested in Jericho and Kingston. That was the thing we were interested in. That's the thing. If we have to get through all of this to get to Jericho and Kingston, and eventually Kingston wins, that's the asterisk too. Because the Jericho and Kingston feud is okay. I'm okay with it. But Kingston has to win at the end. It can't be Jericho. It can't be another big loss for Kingston. Jericho's not the guy after we just did this with Punk. So yeah, right. I think that's the main thing. It's just making us less interested in the match we really want.
That is such a great point you just made. And this is something that I don't think is actually exclusive to Tony Khan. I see this in wrestling a lot. And he's still a young booker, right, in the grand scheme of things. So he's a really good example to use. When you have top guys and you want them to work with guys that are underneath guys, you either have them win decisively and not extend it and not, you know, do too much of an angle. They just win, move on. Or you pick underneath guys that you believe can be brought up. I think 2.0 are a fun team. They're a really nice heel team. And what I'm about to say is going to sound like an insult, but it just is what it is. They don't need to be in these kind of angles. They just do not. And to me personally, and I've said this on the Late Night Grin at latenightgrin.com, sign up now. I think putting Eddie in this whole thing after how hot he was against Punk has been a mistake. And folks, they are going to chant Eddie no matter what happens. They love the man. He's great. You know, I don't need to be convinced on that. However, what SB3 said is the truth. If you spend too much time squabbling with guys that feel like they're underneath guys, inevitably, if they can't come up, the other guys come down. And I think, look, Jericho, you know, he's an icon and he's beloved. And so he can get away with it. And Kingston goes about saying he can get away with it. But you do not want to do it often. And another example is on this show. You have to be careful with Malakai. He does not need to be wrestling 6 minutes with Brian Pillman Jr. He's a top guy. You either have him kill those underneath guys in 30 seconds, or you put him in a big-time program with an Eddie Kingston, with a Chris Jericho. That is something that wrestling has got to do better, I think, this year, in the sense that, like, there's something to be said for including everyone. But you have to know people's limitations. And again, let me stress, because they seem like the most wonderful guys. 2.0, I love them. They're great. But everyone has their role. And I don't think theirs is an in-ring promo segment, you know, that goes on for 8 minutes. And granted, they were just standing there for most of it. But I think it's a real thing they need to work on. You know, you don't have to share the ball that much, so to speak.
Yeah. When it comes to Jericho and Eddie, it feels like, and this is another issue I've had with the Jericho verse, as SV3 called it, is that, like, the inner circle stuff just doesn't feel connected at all. And if you're going to do Jericho and Eddie and you're going to put Santana and Ortiz in there, there needs to be some, like, it, maybe you're going, okay, this is where, because you mentioned a possible Jericho heel turn, Joseph. And, like, if you're going to do that, inner circle's got to play in somewhere, right? And it doesn't feel like Santana and Ortiz just feel like very thrown in there because they have ties with Eddie. They're part of Inner Circle. Like, why isn't there a question of, like, late saves and things like that? It doesn't feel like they're going anywhere with this. And maybe they will. Maybe they will get to, okay, guys got to pick sides on this. But if that's the case, like, they ain't doing enough of that right now. And instead they're doing the 2.0 Garcia stuff for 2 months now. And it's like, can we just, like, move past that and get to the actual part where it is going to be Eddie and Jericho?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And you will make Santana Ortiz potentially pick sides. Sammy can get involved once he gets done with Cody, I guess, because Sammy's in both universes. Bless him. and I don't know what Jake Hager's doing. But like, yeah, get to kind of the Jericho and Eddie stuff. And I understand Eddie had or Jericho took time for his tour and everything. But if you knew that was coming, then maybe don't start this immediately right then and figure something else to work around that. But man, and
yeah,
it doesn't help when you have segments like that last night either. Like, some of this stuff can be salvaged if you have like kind of home run segment, because I'm with you, Joseph. Like the CM Punk MJF stuff, is every single line like, am I going crazy over like a lot of people? No. Like, can I leave a lot of the content on the cutting room floor? Yes. But at least everything feels very like heated. And it feels like it has like, it feels like it has like some purpose of what they're doing and everything. That Jericho segment just felt like they were out there just wasting time last night.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you completely. The story itself needs to be told. Sorry. Go ahead.
He was fishing for a crowd reaction that wasn't happening. Like he's like pinhead, squarehead.
And that's the other thing. It's like, Jericho's usually good at like, all right, he'll say some stuff, but it'll at least like get a pop and everything. They weren't even trying to play that pinhead blockhead stuff last night.
I'm telling you, I'm going to frame this positive way. I am very confident that Chris can do something with Eddie Kingston, because it's a guy, it's a promo that should bring the best out of him when the time comes. And in the most polite way possible, in ring, it's a guy that should allow the older Chris Jericho to thrive. Because Chris isn't going to try and work like, you know, it's a WCW Cruiserweight match. They're going to beat each other up. They're probably going to bleed. Like, I think it can really, really work. I think you need to let it happen, right? Like, it's, you know, this kind of extending itself is frustrating. So, but I agree with you. The actual story itself is mostly taking place in our heads right now with the Santana and Ortiz. They're just kind of there on TV.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch the TV show, I don't think they've said a word.
No.
You probably need to change that.
The other big thing last night, Jade Cargill did become the TBS champion. Like, how you feel about Jade Cargill winning is, you know, we'll see where it kind of goes. I didn't think the match was very good. It was rough, man. It was rough. And Jade Cargill star look has a lot of potential. I'm fine with them building around her and then putting the belt on her and then making her one of the faces of this division. They got to be very careful with how they book this stuff and how they have her sort of learn on television in ring when it comes to this. I thought the Thunder Rosa match was fine. Last night, She's wrestling Ruby. Ruby's obviously very good. They didn't click. Something didn't click, but it was rough. And Jade, she hasn't had a whole lot of extended in-ring time. And again, you got to be very careful with not only how you book this run in-ring, just how you book it from who she's going to beat and how long you're going to do this. Because I said it yesterday on the preview, streaks are tough. Streaks are very tough because if your whole identity is a winning streak, after that, when you lose that, like what becomes of you after that? And this is why I think going with Ruby would have been a fine call last night, because then you don't have to worry about that. You can let Jade improve and then make her get better. And then she comes back and she's like, I've learned, I've grown, I've improved. And then she beats whoever for the title. Now she's the champion. I don't know if she can work extended matches. And she's got to beat people as well, because you've established her beating some big names. So she's got to continue to beat people, or you got to find that person immediately who you're like, okay, this person can take the title off of her and make her. And then what becomes of Jade after that? Yeah, I love Jade. I think the world of her as far as her star potential and everything, but they got to be very careful with how they're going to book this run. SP3.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Like, when the TBS title tournament was announced, I was like, this is Jade Cargill's tournament. She had made it to the number one spot in the ranking. She was undefeated. I knew they weren't going to go to Britt Baker and Jade yet, so it made sense to give her another goal to go after so she can be away and we don't have to have the Britt and Jade matchup just yet. So it made sense. And after last week, though, I was just like, maybe we should go with Ruby, because although the match was fine with Thunder Rosa, it was very clear as day where Jade was at in comparison to Thunder Rosa. When she's in there with the best worker in the division, you can clearly see she's waiting. There's a lot of pausing. She doesn't always know what her next move is going to be. And we saw that even more last night with Ruby Soho. It just didn't click. They didn't mesh well. The biggest reaction that the crowd gave the matchup was when Thunder Rosa came out and brawled with Mercedes Martinez to the back, and when Jade put one foot on the top rope and then decided to go back down to the second rope. So it's just when those are the biggest reactions in the match, something is missing. But I do respect them for their commitment and going with Jade Cargill. You know, she has the look. She looks like a superstar. She looks like, after her wrestling career, she can go to Hollywood and be a star in that way. She has that type of transformative type of look. But she needs reps. So if this title is to get her those reps in the ring, I'm totally fine with it. I could see it in a few months, maybe Tay Conti getting the victory and beating her for the TBS title. That could be someone there. If they want to go longer, like a full year of Jade Cargill, God bless them. Hopefully she gets better in the ring. But if they make it that long, I could see someone like a Red Velvet even beating her, because they have that story there. But I think the more than anything coming out of that, I can see they are doing some type of underdog story with Ruby Soho, because they brought up the loss against Britt. They had her give the interview after the loss in the TBS finals. They are going to give her that big win. It's just not going to come soon.
Yeah, it feels like one of those situations where if you're going to do it, just do what she can do right now and just have her beat Ruby in 4 minutes. I mean, I know people would hate it, and I would too, but I don't think this was the right call. But what I'm getting at is, it's one thing to make the decision, but if you're going to do it, man, you may as well just do it, because these like 10-minute matches, I say with no hate in my heart, they're just not very good right now. And that's fine. You know, she's so new, you can't blame her for that. But unfortunately, if you keep putting her out there for 10-minute matches, people just, they'll make their mind up. And, like, that's not doing her any justice. And you either got to protect, if you want her to be a star, which we all believe she can be, you got to protect her and have her go shorter matches and find a way for her to work longer matches off at the air. I don't know, man. I thought it was bad, and I didn't want it. Like, you know, I didn't take no pride in saying that I'm happy about it. I didn't think it worked at all. And, the crowd, you know, I thought the crowd in the second half kind of got with it a little bit, but it just, she's not, Jay's just not where she needs to be right now. And if you want to put TBS title, I get that. I just do not think this is the answer, you know? Like, these long matches where you're asking her to sell, and it's like, man, you may as well just commit and have a, you know, win squash matches, because it's, these matches aren't, they're not getting anyone over in my view. But that's just me. It's a shame.
Yeah. Again, we will see what they do with it. There's ways around it. I don't know if you can do these 4-minute matches with people on your roster and then just have her run through everybody. Maybe it's a case of, all right, open door. She just beats some independent people real quickly. And that's how you, that way you're protecting people on your roster. But learning on the fly on television, not easy. Putting a title on this person and trusting her to carry some of this stuff, that's even tougher. I think she's been put in a bad spot given where she's at in ring. And I hope it doesn't come back to bite her in that aspect, because she, like, it's not her fault of this, right? Like, she's not the one asking for this and going to beg for this stuff. It's not her fault.
Your phrase was perfect. She's been put in a bad spot. It's, there's a really, there's a problem with, when we all agree that, God forbid what her mentions look like today, right? And none of us co-sign the kind of bullshit that, you know, is out there and all of the stuff that comes with it, especially right now with what, you know, dude tweeted. Like, it's hard, man. Like, and I'm not sitting here trying to get, like, mad about it. I think there's a real chance that she could be, like, an actual star that crosses over and becomes, like, a celebrity of sorts.
Yeah.
And I don't think the way to do it, if you're going to do that, I don't think the way to do it is having these matches, man. And it's just, it's difficult to talk about, because when I'm saying this, I know that, unfortunately, our criticism for some people comes with this, like, personal attack and, like, you know, this, and they're getting mad about it. And it's like, I think that, you know, you could protect her a lot better than this. She's someone that ultimately, I think the Shaq match was when, March of last year?
Yes.
You know, it's no time. And this is where, God, would house shows be a godsend for these particular cases? I mean, they're a nightmare for so many others because people get injuries and it's terrible. But, like, it would be so wonderful to just say to Jade, you know, every weekend you're going to wrestle Thunder Rosa 3 times or Serena, Mulder, like, but unfortunately, they don't have that, and they—I think they need to find their own equivalent. Maybe, you know, maybe you can kind of send her to certain places where there'll be less of a spotlight. I don't know, but I just, these matches, man, they're not getting over in the building to me. I mean, and no, look, that's actually not fair. The crowd got into it at the end. But what I'm saying is, look, let's all be honest with ourselves. When we imagined the first TBS title match, you was hoping it was going to be a slightly more, you know, something slightly more triumphant than this, where. Yeah. At the halfway point, it was like, it weren't like the people were too into it, unfortunately. That's my read on it. I don't know.
I agree. It just didn't click well. But I think you can't kind of onto something there. Like, they need to find, like, some type of feeder system or some type of independent promotion where they can just get her more reps. And whether that's them working with Ring of Honor, you know, Ring of Honor wants ROH title to be defended in a bunch of places. And if they are going to come back in April, have her go over there. Like, they're going to do independent shows. They're going to need stars on their shows. Jay Cargill is a big name, and you can put her in there with the Roxy. Even though Roxy is younger, she's more experienced in the ring. That's going to help her to, you know, work with the Rios of the world, the Shidas of the world. So I think that they have to find some other promotion to help them out. That's the best way to do it, because just having 3-minute matches on Dark, it's not getting her any better at this point.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting. There are some guys, and this is something that fascinates me, like the idea that because of the way their system works, if you're a top guy, it's great because it's going to extend your career. You're not wrestling every week, you know? Yeah. Or you're not wrestling multiple times a week anyway. But there is another issue where some of these people are getting to a point where their TV matches are like, there's so much pressure on them for every TV match, you know? Like, this is this person's first match on TV in 6 months. And it's like, well, I mean, that's not really a great way of positioning someone to succeed. I was talking to, I think we all here love Powerhouse Hobbs, right? Like, we all think he's money top guy.
Yeah.
Love. He had a match where him and Starks had a tag with the Dark Order on Dark a couple weeks, but months ago probably now. And the match just fell apart. It happens, right? And I was like, well, that's fine. And I pulled up Hobbs's, you know, cage match deal. And, like, Hobbs is a veteran, so it doesn't show as much because he's a pro, obviously. But, like, he's wrestling, like, 6 real matches a year, you know? Like, you're going to get out of rhythm, right? Like, it's a unique setup. We're going to see positives. We're going to see negatives. What we're saying right here isn't like, oh, it's the end of the world. I need to, you know, tear it up and build a developmental territory. But I think SB3's credit is probably something to be said for looking at alternatives. Because if I see real pros looking a little bit rusty at times, someone like Jay, you know, she's got no chance, right?
Yeah. I mean, they have working relationships with independent companies, obviously. Like, we've seen guys like Eddie go to Defy. Right. There's GCW is obviously a big one. There's a million Mission Pro, Thunder Rosa's company. There's a million independent companies out there. Not all of them are on like television or anything like that. You obviously got to be careful about like what fan base you're going to put them in front of. I'm not sending Jade Cargill to a GCW event. Yeah. You got to be careful about that stuff. But she could certainly go to like a Mission Pro. And work some matches. She could go to like a Defy. I don't think Defy televises anything beyond wrestling. I know they're kind of taking a break, but they have like the wrestling open thing, Limitless. Like there's companies out there that she can go there and work these work some matches every weekend. And it's just a question: does she want to do that? Do they want to put her in that position? I don't know. But at least that would help her give her some reps in front of some fans and not necessarily in a type of television capacity, especially not a television capacity that's as high pressure as a Rampage or a Dynamite.
I think also she needs to get reps in, like if it's not going to be an AEW, because obviously they're against it, if it's going to be an independent promotion, give her some matches against guys. Because you can tell a lot of times in her matches, she doesn't want to hurt her opponent. And she feels like she's so much more powerful than the females that she kind of lays off or doesn't she lay in pulls, her punches. Yeah. She pulls back on like kicks and stuff. Get her in there against a guy, and I think that she will get more comfortable in the ring when she eventually goes back and fights the ladies in AEW.
That's a really good point, because there is like a, you know, the part until then that none of us have mentioned is, this isn't just the case of like a rookie that's figuring things out. She's such a unique case physically, right? So like it must be hard for her. Like all of these matches, it's kind of the same pattern where she's working with a smaller girl and she's throwing them around. And, you know, like it's, it's interesting for sure. I think this reign will be a real test of them creatively. Because if their plan is just to send Jade out to work 10-minute matches every week, I think that is a complete disservice to Jade. So shall see. But then again, you know, if it squashes, does that? It's hard. I don't know what the answer is, if I'm being honest with you. They've kind of put themselves in a corner all along with this, and it's come to fruition. So we shall see.
Catch up on some super chats, and then unfortunately, everyone knows what time it is. Yes. Eric Brady says, do you think the case can be made that Bryan Danielson is better in ring than Bron Breakker? It's tough, man. Bron Breakker's really good.
Listen, that match did rule, though, in all fairness.
It did, yeah. It did.
He's a hell of a talent, Bron Breakker, right? Incredible.
Yeah. He's great. Jay Shell says, Lee Moriarty, he fought Punk, and now he has no steam. A lot of guys like that. They just kind of do that one-off thing, and
I wish they'd have followed up on the Sydal thing with Moriarty.
Me too.
Remember he was like taking him under his wing? I don't think they've done anything with that since.
They had that one really good matchup with Leo Rush and Dante Martin, and they never went back to it.
Now, I don't think they're doing it on the C shows. I don't think they've teamed up on them. So I don't know what to do with that. That feels like a team that could be on TV, man. That's a hell of a team.
Yeah.
Jay Blood said Malachi stuff needs to be deep, involved, high end. AEW looks a little bit low rent in context of his ambitions.
Probably fair.
That stuff just, it doesn't hit with me. I don't know if it's deep.
I agree, but like there is truth to that though.
JJ says the one thing I'm picking up when watching Nitro, some of these matches has no story. It's a wrestling show with matches. Current AEW is 97-98 Nitro. Or WCW. That's what Tony wanted, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best years, he said.
He loves that shit. But what did AEW do? I thought the numbers are out. Maybe not. And Phantom, you know, jokes about his dye job was off limits. I don't know if that. I'm assuming that was Jericho. I don't know. If, probably should have gone there. Honestly, it was something. Cody says, can't wait to watch live. Just want to show my support. Thursday Night Wars begin tonight. Impact versus MLW Azteca shooting across your coffee authorities.
My God.
You watching MLW Azteca, Joseph?
Yes.
Don't lie. Hugh Janus says, they have Dark Elevation. Only problem is you can't have Jade, Thunder Rosa, Deeb every week as they broadcast it, so can't have one of them losing. Yeah, and
yeah,
on those shows, like, you're probably going to do squashes. You're probably not going to do, like, kind of 10-minute matches.
This is the thing, shows, right? So
maybe you should.
Yeah, the answer to that is do some angles. But I think the reason they're hesitant to do more, they do some. I've watched the shows. Like, they definitely do some. But part of why they don't do as many longer matches on Elevation, especially, is they've got so many guys that need to get out there and wrestle for the night, you know? So it's like, if you, Dark Elevation is like 40 minutes long, and there will be, you know, 7 squash matches in that time. Like, they don't, they ain't looking to have long matches. They're just trying to get guys out there to wrestle. So it's hard.
Jay Blitzer, let's just say, with all our concerns about Jade, she has handled herself in the face of a lot of hate in a really personal way. Yes. Look, this has nothing to do with, you know, her personality and her off screen or anything like that. It is a lot of just, they put her in a bad position and she's done everything that's asked of her. I think they've been asking a little bit too much of her from an in-ring perspective.
Yes. Yes. It's a shame that, unfortunately, we're like, this space is just dominated by people being complete arseholes, right? Yeah. Go ahead, SB3. I'm sorry.
It's a very toxic space. That's why I'm glad to be here with you guys. But I have the AEW number. They did over a million 10,000 was the count. 0.43 in the 18-49 demo.
For those of you watching at home, Tony Khan has just basically told us to go fuck ourselves live here on the air. He has won, and we have lost. I hope you've enjoyed the last ever episode of The Distraction. We have been proven wrong here. We've fallen our sword, much like the great Lord Stephen Regal over there in Orlando. He was
like,
so.
Tony going to put out the tweet like, ha, you told me to say sorry. I didn't, and we did over a million. Ha!
Oh, boy.
Ah! I wasn't even going that way. Oh, hell.
Ha! On that note. History final. Bang! Time for Robert O'Neill's Corner 3. Hello, Robert O'Neill.
What's up, guys?
You got to follow that. Good luck.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Well, thoughts on Tony Khan just dunking on us live on the air here with his successful rating for Dynamite?
Oh, man.
Bob, are you there?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Sorry, you cut out.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. You ready to do the corner 3?
I am, yeah.
Go ahead,
Bobby.
Here we go. History final, bang! Okay. Go ahead, O'Neill.
Yeah. So, you know, we're about the halfway point of the NBA season, so I figured I'd check in how things are going around the league here. You know, I'm going to start with the Lakers. Been watching them a little bit recently. You know, LeBron, still very good, still doing it at 37 or whatever he is. The rest of that team, though, man, they suck. Like, Westbrook doesn't have it anymore. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to do this to you. Anthony Davis, I think, is still fine once he gets better, but you know what it is, too? If they would have gotten DeMar DeRozan, Alex Caruso, instead of Westbrook, they'd be top 4 team right now. And that's really the thing. That's the thing that we got to focus on here. And I didn't want to start with the Lakers. You know, I know you're a Lakers fan. I didn't want to attack you like that. But that was really what stuck out to me. But, you know, just kind of going more around the league. You know, you look at the Eastern Conference in general. The Heat are still pretty good. The Bucks are on the upswing. You know, the Nets have gotten it together because Kyrie's back. But you look at the top of the Eastern Conference, it's the Chicago Bulls. And for a team that hasn't had their full team in, what are we talking, probably about a month? You know, they're on an 8-game win streak. DeMar DeRozan's look great. It's really exciting. It's an exciting time. You know, before the year, I just wanted them to avoid the play-in game. You know, maybe get the top 4. And now, you know, 2 games up on the 1 seed going into the second half of the year. You'd love to see that, man. Just brilliant stuff by them. And you know, again, I'll go back to the Lakers for a second here. Like, I think LeBron can get them together. I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs or whatever, but just no depth, man. You know, they went and just kind of got all LeBron's friends from various all-star teams in the past instead of just building a proper team. And it just, it's not really working for them. I don't know. I mean, there's trades they can make, you know, they got plenty of time still, but definitely some signs of danger out there in LA. And then, you know, we talked about the Bulls a little bit. We talked about the rest of the Eastern Conference. The Warriors look like they could win the title again. And I mean, I know we knew when Klay Thompson came back, and he's not even back yet, but I know, you know, we knew they'd be good. You know, Steph is at an MVP level still. Yeah, just a really good team. And I mean, it's been fun. It's been fun to watch the NBA this year. It's been fun to get back into it. You know, I've gotten more into it because my team is actually good. But that's just the thing that sticks out every time I watch the Lakers, because, you know, DeMar wanted to go there. Caruso wanted to stay there. You get those guys instead of Westbrook, top four team, man. Top four in the West. They're, what, six right now? They'd easily be in the top four. I don't know if Jeremy.
Why do you keep bringing up the Lakers? Why?
That's really the sticking point. You know, those are my two points, the Lakers and the Bulls. And I didn't mean to come on here and attack you. I know you're a Lakers fan. But yeah, that's just, those are my two big points at the halfway mark. You know, the Lakers have been disappointing. The Bulls have really been better than everyone thought, except for me, and all hail. History portal,
bang! That has been Robert O'Neill's corner three. Joseph, you're muted.
What a piece of shit he turned out to be.
I was dying.
Like, he kept going back. He kept going back to the lake. I thought it was over.
You know what that was? That was like, you know, the meme of from Joker? You know, when Joaquin Phoenix is looking, he tells the joke and he looks at other people. That was Bob about eight different points during that, where he just dunked on the Lakers, went silent, and was like, and what?
He clearly didn't know how much time was left, so he just like stopped. Like, so the Lakers, they didn't get to Mark Rose.
He was like giving the viewers time to laugh, like literally. Like,
hang on, are we saying we need to add like a laughing track to this program? Yeah. Do we have to, for Bob's sake, to fill the 3 minutes, do we have to let him pause?
So he has like a button he can just press and he gets the laugh in. He's lucky. You know, I let him do all that because I was going to say, I'm not going to even insult him back. He's a Bulls fan.
It's tough with the way they've been playing. It's tough to actually disprove any of that.
He's a Bulls fan, and you know, Bulls fans have had it rough over the last couple of years. Last time he saw a championship, Bob was starring with Ben Stiller in Heavyweights. So I understand that he's a little bit salty. He's a little bit salty at me and the Los Angeles Lakers.
No, that was, you just killed that man, bro. Holy shit, that was incredible. Heavyweights, man, that's a classic. I just saw a murder take place. Tony can't stuff me into a locker there with that rating. Bob thought he thought he was home and dry, didn't he, Jeremy? Thought he'd won. Yeah. He was sitting back there smug. Jesus, man.
Joseph Escobar, be careful, guys. As distraction COVID protocol, follow the way Bob's politics.
You should have left me off the house shows, brother, you know? That was incredible. I can't believe what just happened.
Oh, man.
Bob, do you have any focus on the fact that you've just stole defeat from the jaws of victory, it appears, based on what I just watched play out here?
Yeah, no, I've been owned. I have to admit that. And just move on.
Oh my god, we got some bobber chats to read from Jay Shell. Says hi Joe and SV3. I don't like Jeremy right now. What'd I do? He said he was going to kick me after I thought we were friends. Hope SV3 rants here too. Yeah, you guys are talking how young you are. Just look at you youngins. Jay Shell also says, I'm getting new age ass boys jokes made at me. I blame Jeremy. That's not my fault. And not Brian Danielson. Oh, this is like not John Alba. Am I the only one deflated that Danielson didn't go over? I just like to pretend that Brian Danielson actually did send that as not Brian Danielson, and he's pissed that he didn't win.
I mean, I get it. He is awesome, but it's Hangman, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
they could have done a lot of things. Like, I wouldn't have been mad if Danielson won, yeah. But I'm all for Hangman keeping the title. There's a lot of meat there. So,
yeah, I agree.
Oh man, do we have anything else to talk? I feel like we can't. After that.
It's done.
Can we talk about the release stuff? People got released.
It's bad. Quick thing. Yeah. One thing I will say. And this is another message to the wrestling world here. If, you know, we all talk about this thing, we talk about the imaginary, like, third promotion that's going to come along to make wrestling even more fun.
Yeah.
If there is a money man on the earth right now who has any interest in entering professional wrestling, we're about to find out, because Regal is the guy. If you honestly had the money you wanted to do to be the quarterback of a wrestling project, Regal is the man for the job. So you'll find out here shortly if that exists. I'm pretty sure it doesn't. But, you know, it's hard, right? Because for us, it's just like, it's just a bummer that people are losing their jobs. Like, I think we all are, like, aware of what's going on, and they're trying to make a point about the new regime. And unfortunately, this is just what happens with that stuff when you get cold, callous corporations trying to send a message. They haven't been subtle with it, so I think we're all aware by now of what's going on. I thought Regal was going to dodge the bullet because he's fucking Regal. Everyone loves that guy. He does every job. He's got, you know, I'm pretty sure, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here. We all agree on this. He has a job waiting for him in AEW if he wants it. A pretty lucrative one.
Yeah.
I think for wrestling's sake, it would be really fun if we see him centering another promotion. I don't know what promotion. I don't know. But that dude has got, like, some serious kind of pull in the industry. People love him. So, yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting. He's the big headline of it all, right? I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. Yeah, easily. That's big three.
I was just honestly shocked. Like, I remembered the tweet immediately when I heard the news. Remember when Triple H said that as long as William Regal would always have a job as long as he wanted one. So is this telling to tell us that he doesn't want to be there anymore? But no, we know the fact of the matter is that they are just wiping the slate clean. And it's just very disheartening, because it makes it feel like all the work in giving WWE a lot of the stars that they have on the main roster, it comes down to William Regal either helping those guys when they got to WWE or being the person that got their foot in the door for WWE. So to make it feel like all of that didn't matter, all that hard work that he put in, to just let him go in the way that they did, it's very disappointing. It's like, I know you guys always say Fed is dead, but like, they have a dead soul. That's what that really means. Like, they will never be dead as far as business, but as far as their soul, it's and changed. How they show appreciation to their employees, to the people that work the hardest for them, it's very much, very different from how I grew up watching this.
It's weird, right? Like, I think we can all agree that WWE was always very, very questionable in terms of morality, right? But there was this, and this does not make it right, but there was this sense that, like, those kind of, you know, in the family would always be, and like, Regal is the ultimate example. Like, I never thought I'd see Regal not work for that company, you know, but yeah, because the wrestlers, we've never seen them cut wrestlers at the rate they have the last year, but generally, if you look through history, the wrestlers come and go, but there are these guys that kind of stick around forever in the, but the truth is, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb here, he was intended to be Triple H's right-hand man for when he was, you know, the Pat Patterson or the Bruce or whoever. And I guess that's just not happening anymore. So it's a huge story. And we've covered it enough, no doubt. And, it, you know, this isn't the time to get into it too deep here. But, like, folks, do yourself a favor. Go back a year. Look at that New Year's Evil card from last year NXT. Look at the – it is a huge story. And in real time, you react to it accordingly, and you may not quite grasp the scope of it. Imagine me telling you a year ago this is where we'd be now. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And, of course, ironically, this week's NXT show is great. So it's all, you know, rainbows over there. They probably think they've done a great job. But we, this next few years, there are going to be some really interesting conversations to be had about what this new approach is, how it works, and how long it lasts. And we will, you know, we'll see how history treats this one. We'll see.
One thing that isn't being talked about enough is how NXT went from one of the greatest women's divisions of all time to where they are now, where the New Year's Evil show, I do agree, was a very good wrestling show.
Yeah, that match.
One of the weakest things on the show was the women's match. And, like, it literally, TakeOver Vengeance Day, go back and watch that show. When Toni Storm goes from NXT UK to NXT, when Ember Moon comes back from injury, you got Io Shirai as champion, you still have Mercedes Martinez, you had Raquel Gonzalez on the rise, you had Taya Valkyrie just signing with the company. All of that is gone. Io Shirai is an afterthought in the division. She was in a tag team where they were having sushi and having one of the worst segments in NXT history. And this whole division is just, it's not what it used to be. And I think that's one thing that isn't being focused on enough is that they built up one of the best women's divisions ever and then tore it apart for this rebrand.
Yeah, and this is hot. So I was reading a thing the other day. I don't know who it was. I'm sorry. But they were talking about who's going to win the Rumble, right? And on the woman's side, these were the names listed. So you had Bianca Belair, who we all agree, obviously the Becky stuff sucked, but like the first year or so, they did a great job with that, right? She won the Rumble. She won Mania. I can accept that as a win. She's one of the top women. She's great. Awesome. The next names were Banks, Bayley, Bliss, Asuka were in this thing. And I'm like, look, I love all of these people. At some point, you got to, you know, like, that was the Royal Rumble predictions 3-4 years ago, you know? That doesn't mean you don't push Sasha, but of course you push her. She's one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. But you have to have other names fit, like, alongside them. And that's where you'd like to see a Toni Storm or a Rhea Ripley or a, Shotzi, or you know, any of these people, right? And live, but they're not there. And some of them could be there, but they need the help creatively, the same help that the other women got 5-6 years ago. So it's going to be the big concern, I think, is you're absolutely correct. You nailed it. You know, the NXT women's division is objectively worse. The big question is, how long until that truly damages the main roster? Because the main roster still has that core, right? Those names are named, they're still there. If they don't start adding soon, man, like, that's going to get slim before you know it. So that's something to watch for sure. Very good point.
Jay Shell says, I think Walter is officially in the US. He's just having his last match in NXT UK. He made the announcement just now. Yeah, I think coward. That was a...
coward, betrayed Great Britain.
SP3, thank you for joining us today. Always appreciate it, buddy. Let the people know where they can find you at.
You can find me on the Twitter machine at TrueHeelSP3. You can see my written work on sportskita.com and wrestletalk.com. Check out my new podcast with Rick Uccino, Believe in Pro Wrestling. You can listen to that wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, as well as you can see me on Sports Keto Wrestling YouTube channel and my own YouTube channel, True Heel Heat. True Heel Heat this Saturday, 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time. We are going to have special guest Rich Fan from PW Torch, so check that out. And then tomorrow on True Heel Heat YouTube channel, my exclusive interview with Shane Taylor, his last official interview while he was under contract with Ring of Honor, where he talks about his feelings coming out of Final Battle and how he really felt about Ring of Honor cutting away from his ending with Kenny King to the CM Punk promo. So check that out tomorrow.
There we go.
That'll be good. He's always a really great interview. Really. Indeed.
Yeah. Matt King says, family doesn't matter. If you have shareholders satisfied, WWE going public was the beginning of them. Capitalism plus art always at odds.
That's there. The reason I said that was because, like, it is important that we're, and I know we are in the chat probably as too, like, we're all aware that, like, that place was always probably not, like, they never really cared, but there was always certain people that felt bulletproof, you know? Yeah. I don't feel like that way anymore, right? It feels like anyone could fall. Should I do plugs now, Jeremy?
Yes, you can do plugs.
Should I let the show end now rather than adding another topic on top of before we leave every time?
Do we have another topic?
No, hell no.
Okay.
I have some stuff. So a couple of things here. The Fleet 50, after I spent an hour talking about why AEW is dead, you can send your 50... 50-
your ballot of the top 50 in-ring performers of AEW's 2021. We've got like, I think I haven't done them all yet, but we're on like 18. Let me tell you, folks, there's a lot of opinions out there. You know, we've got some, there's some wonderful people with wonderful ideas about professional wrestling. You can send your ballot, joeholbert05@gmail.com. Just send me the list. I'll put it in there and I'll announce the winner in a couple of weeks. You got like the 22nd, I think, is the deadline. So you can get involved in that. Latenightgrin.com for the Patreon, in which we do the Late Night Grin program. Also, quick thing, personal thing here. I want to review Dynamite. You run wrestling site, tell me. I will do it for a...
That's what we do on this show.
I know, but I'm working on something. For a minimal price of $500,000 a week, I will review AEW Dynamite immediately after the show goes off the air. That's the thing I want to explore in all seriousness. So if you're involved, hit me up, all that good stuff. Phantom, they do not have to be fully signed. If they wrestle one match in AEW, they're eligible. The key is you only judge them on their work in AEW, though. So, you know, if you did Rocky Romero, you wouldn't include while thinking about his stuff in New Japan or whatever. So there you go.
The bare minimum, just one match in AEW. I got to thank you guys for having me on the show. I always have a great time, even though, yeah, you know, you sent Bob for me. It's fine.
Bob, we don't script O'Neal, okay? We're not backstage. We don't hand him a script or anything. He didn't even tell us what he's going to do. Half the time, he doesn't even know what he's going to do. So he just shows up, and we just kind of give him free reign. We don't have control over that, man. I'm sorry.
No, I appreciate y'all guys. You guys are two of my favorites in all of wrestling media that I generally call friends. And yes, but I have to call out Jeremy when we do in our challenge podcast.
That's man, I have no free time now on like weekend. I still have not watched last week's episode. I've not watched last week's episode. I've not seen the pasta rant. I haven't seen it.
Oh my God.
I'm so
So what's the challenge equivalent of Fed Dead or Fleet Beat? Have we got one for the challenge? It's too long, right?
Yeah, it's tough to like really play.
Chibi.
I'll hopefully catch up this weekend at some point. I've gotten no sleep this week, SP3. Give me a break, man.
Me Come either. On. I did a watch along for Wrestle Kingdom. I had to be on camera watching that at 3 o'clock in the morning. So trust me, I know.
Jeremy, before you click end stream, can you put Dion's comment on the screen? Not if don't even read it, just put it on there and let us go off the air with that on the screen. Thanks, bro. Thanks everyone.
Bye everyone. I have plugs, Joe. So sometimes I do things every now and again. No post show today. No post show. We'll be on Twitch tomorrow. Joel Pearl and I, 5 o'clock. Shout out to Shibugan who was paying for my EA Play subscription. If you guys just want to like send me money, you can PayPal me. I'll take money. I'll put it to good use. So Joel Pearl and I are gonna do some stuff there. There will be an Impact Hard to Kill in AEW Battle of the Belts watch along this weekend on Twitch. I think that's everything. We'll be back on the Distraction Channel on Monday. What are we reviewing on Monday? Are we reviewing Impact?
Impact and Battle of the Belts. Impact and Battle of the Belts, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Remember Battle of the Belts? They were going to have quarterly specials. And we were like, Clash of Champions, baby.
Just like here's a Cody match you've seen before and a Brit match you've seen before.
Have fun. Beat, folks.
1 hour.
Beat.
All right, everybody. Thank you guys. We appreciate it. Thank you again, SP3, for doing this. Always appreciate you, buddy. I say it all the time. I'm very blessed to have good friends who I can just message on a whim, be like, hey, can you do this? And the answer is typically yes. And you are someone who I know I can always do that. Thank you, SP3. Thank you, Joseph, for showing up under the COVID, which is basically just the flu, according to LeBron James. We'll talk to everybody later on.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.